Welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
And I'm Vinny V.
Hi, guys. Still in quarantine.
Happy quarantine.
Happy quarantine. It's getting a little old now.
Little bit.
Going on week 8, I believe. Is that right?
God.
At least.
Yeah.
And I did make, we talked last week about, I was going to make a Tunisian leg of lamb.
Yes.
So I did, I bought, the only reason I got the leg of lamb is normally when I do a leg of lamb, I do boneless, but it's hard to get a very small piece for two people. So usually when I do it, I either have lots of leftovers or I have people over. So it was just the two of us, and the store was unusual that they had these like almost like a piece of the leg of lamb with the bone in, and it was small, so it was like, you know,
so it was perfect.
Yeah, I thought so, but you know, bone in, and so the paste that was you know, you're supposed to make slits all over the lamb, and you make a paste out of turmeric. And
garlic,
coriander, cilantro. Actually, not cilantro. What was it? No, I could think it was cilantro. That doesn't sound. Does that sound North African?
A little cilantro. Bit. Yeah.
Okay. Ginger. Hot pepper, and so you smear this rub all over it and push it into the slits a little bit. I let it sit in the refrigerator a couple of days and I roasted it. It was okay. It wasn't, you know, I'm not a fan of doing leg of lamb on the bone. There's so much, unless you want to make a stock, you know, to cut it off the bone, I think it's a big pain in the neck. But yeah,
unless you have a giant leg of lamb, you're right.
Yeah, unless it's a big one, because I wasn't necessarily the section that I would have chosen, you know. But anyway, I did it.
Maybe I next just, time buy a leg of a boneless leg and just cut it in half and then keep
and freeze
one
it.
In the freezer. Yeah, freeze the other part for next time.
I thought it would have been good with tzatziki, even though that's not North African.
African, it's Greek, but
Greek, but I thought
it would be good.
It would be a nice compliment.
Absolutely. Sounds really good.
I didn't have any dill, so I just didn't do it. Yeah. Or I'd imagine maybe I'd do the like tzatziki with cilantro instead of dill.
Right.
To make it
nice
more like the dish. But anyway, tell me, you said you before we started, you said you made
I made something really good. So Mario and I have been making fresh pasta at least once a week. It's just so easy. I guess I should just make it all the time. It's so easy. It's I use the same recipe my grandmother used to use, which is basically a cup of flour, one egg, a tablespoon of oil, and a teaspoon of water, and salt. So just 5 things. And you can increase it to, you know, 10 cups of flour, 10 eggs, 10 tablespoons, 10 teaspoons and salt.
So repeat that, please.
It's 1 cup of flour.
Yep.
1 egg. A tablespoon of oil. A teaspoon of water and salt.
Okay.
So generally if I'm making.
That up.
Yeah. Generally when I'm making a batch, I usually do 4 of 4. You know, 4 times that. So 4 cups of flour, 4 eggs, 4 tablespoons of oil, 4 teaspoons of water, and about a tablespoon of salt. And you just mix it all up and you cover it with some plastic wrap. You let it sit for a half an hour so the gluten expands. And you can just roll it out with a rolling pin. I have the little attachment that goes on my KitchenAid mixer. That is first just the plain roller, so it just comes out flat. And then from there, you can roll it up and cut it into tagliatelle, or you can put it through another cutter that's either, you know, a thin pasta cutter or, you know, whatever shape you want to make it, whether it's like fettuccine, tagliatelle, linguine. Christopher, who is one of our quarantine pals, who's been here going on 8 weeks, we on Sunday, we go through what the menu is going to be for the week. So we, initially I was just, you know, saying, what about this? What about that? And I was kind of making up all the menus. Now I have them all write down a bunch of items and we put it in a hat and we pick out and we decide, you know, what we want to have. We want to have fish this night, meat that night, pasta. So I guess Chris was running out of ideas, or he wanted to get some, you know, wanted to look up some ideas on what to put down on his little notes. And he found a recipe for tagliatelle with prosciutto. And of course, when I read it, it sparked my memory of my grandfather, one of my grandfather's favorite dishes, which was prosciutto and peas and pasta, which is a pretty classic Genoese dish. So just sauteed while we made the fresh pasta, we let it dry a little bit, but not thoroughly. And while the pasta was cooking, I just sauteed some prosciutto in half butter, half olive oil, till it was sort of crispy. And when the pasta was almost done, I threw about 2 cups of frozen peas in with the pasta, so they would cook in with the pasta. And then I just scooped the pasta and peas out and threw it in the prosciutto and added about a half a stick of butter, almost a full stick of butter, because it was a large quantity, and a ton of Parmigiano Reggiano and a lot of starchy, the pasta water.
Now, what I would do in a dish like that is I would just let, they were frozen peas?
Yep.
Why not just let them thaw and throw them in with the hot pasta, not in the pasta water, so they're nice and crunchy?
They were still crunchy. I just threw them in for like, you know, 2 minutes before that I was going to, before the pasta was done. And the pasta was still al dente because I wanted to sort of finish it a little bit further in with the butter and the prosciutto.
Right, right.
And it was delicious. And just that starchy cooking water is like liquid gold. You know, anybody that drains their pasta and just pours that down the drain is just wasting precious liquid. You know, you add that to your pasta and it makes everything so creamy. You know, it almost became emulsified.
Right.
Good. It was really, really good.
You said butter and oil, right?
Just when I sauteed the prosciutto in the beginning.
Within the oil.
Yeah.
And then you added the butter later. Wow.
And then I added butter later. Yeah, it was creamy. It was delicious. It was, you know, the peas were crisp and spring-like. And, you know, it was really delicious. And I have a picture. So it was good. Yeah.
Cool.
And we would have to leave out the prosciutto for you, Vinny.
Yeah, you would. Yep.
So just peas?
Well.
Peas are good.
You could make like a primavera. You could do zucchini. You could put carrots, snap peas, you know, just all vegetarian mushrooms. That would be yummy.
Right.
I've made just zucchini in the past, and it's delicious. Just sauteed zucchini. Mm-hmm. Even don't even put any salt on it as you're sauteing it, so it really gets a little browned. Because if you put salt on it, it's drawing out the moisture, so it really will never brown. Just like a mushroom, if you salt it, you can't brown it. And then just the pasta water and cheese. Oh my gosh, delicious! Super good.
I learned about the pasta water from those dinners because they use it all the time.
Yeah,
they always tell you keep a cup of it. Just
absolutely.
Later on.
I have known that my whole life. I think I can't remember who was at our house. Somebody was at our house when I was a kid. It might have been one of my aunt's friends, and we were all cooking together. And he went to drain the pasta, and I can remember my aunt saying, where's the cup? Where's the cup? What are you talking about? Like, no, you need to save a cupful.
I think when I was young, when I was first cooking in my early 20s, I ignored that part of the direction. I don't have to do that. It wasn't until I was like well into my 30s that I realized, oh, wait a minute, you do.
Yeah.
You do have to do that.
It really makes a huge difference because it's really the thing that is marrying this. It's making the sauce, whatever sauce it is, whether it's bolognese or marinara or whatever, it's making it stick to the pasta because of the sauce.
Yeah. I guess talking about my 20s, did I tell you about my first steak au poivre?
I don't know, but please do.
So I was living in Chicago. We got 6 minutes. I was living in Chicago and I was 20. And I had a little cute apartment all to myself. I was managing a restaurant. I was a day manager at a restaurant called Southport City Saloon. Uh-huh. And the only reason I got the job is because I was friends with the owner's daughter. And I lied and I said that I was 24.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you?
I was 20. And his daughter was 24. So I picked that age. But anyway, so I don't think I would have gotten the job if I had been honest about my age. But so I had this little apartment over the restaurant and it was adorable and it was $360 a month. And it was just like this little, not quite a studio, it was like a loft. So it was like a living room and a tiny kitchen. And then you walked up these little steps into like a half bedroom loft. It was an awesome little apartment. So anyway, I go to make steak au poivre, and Vinny, just so you know, steak au poivre is a very classic French dish, and it's just literally beef and pepper. So it's traditional. I mean, you could use different cuts of beef. I don't remember which one I used. You can do tenderloin, you can do sirloin, whatever. But it has to be a nice lean cut. And it's basically just very generously covered with heavy, like kind of a rough cracked pepper. And I'm not, Laura, remind me of the recipe, but I'm going from memory. So you sear it.
You sear it. It's peppercorns that are barely crushed. I mean, it's not like they came out of a mill. Basically, what you do in a kitchen is you take your peppercorns and spread them on, and you take a big old saute pan and just crack it, roll it around on top of it so they're roughly cracked.
Roughly cracked.
And you press it into the meat, and you sear it really quickly, just flash in the pan one side, the other side, take it out. Then you usually deglaze the pan with Pernod. And then you usually put a demi-glaze on it, so it's almost like a brown, peppery, Pernod-smelling.
But it's dish. Also, there's heavy cream involved, isn't there?
Yeah, you finish it with cream. Yep.
Finish it with cream. So whatever I did, I think it was the recipe that I was following. Instead of Pernod, it was called for cognac.
Uh-huh.
So I remember having to spend a fortune on the stupid bottle of cognac. Like I didn't realize maybe I could have substituted brandy, but so I learned, it was the first time that I flambéed anything.
Uh-oh.
And I learned the very, very, very hard way that you must not put your face too close to the pan.
Did you have any eyebrows left?
No eyebrows. And like barely any eyebrows and like singed bangs.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not good.
And I've heard, I had a chef friend of mine who I was working with. He once opened, okay, the gas must have gone out.
Yeah.
And something happened. So when he opened the door to the oven, it ignited. So, okay, so the gas was turned on, but it was, like, not lighting.
Right.
So when he opened the oven door, it drew the pilot light, and it basically exploded in his face.
Right.
And so he had the same thing. He had the no eyebrows, all burned hair, but we wound up taking it. I don't know if it was the ER or the doctor, because apparently what can happen when you have something on your face like that, you can burn your nose hairs.
Yeah.
And what'll happen is you'll get sick because those nose hairs filter out, you know, so we actually had to like rush off to the doctor with him.
Yeah, you're susceptible. It makes you susceptible to lots of things because your nose hairs are very important.
Yes, they are.
Exactly.
Who knew?
Nose hair is important, yes.
Exactly.
So
it made sense.
So we're running low on time.
Okay.
When we come back, do you want to talk a little bit about, I think our audience would find it interesting to hear what your ideas are about. We're in quarantine, a lot of restaurants and people are now depending on takeout and home delivered meals. And I think you have a brilliant suggestion.
I think I do too. So when we come back,
we'll be back in a little bit.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
We're talking food.
Yes, we are.
Good for real.
I'm happy to see what the response has been to Chambers Walk's takeout. We're pretty much averaging like 50, last night I think it was 62, 63 people covers taking out, which is amazing to me.
What's your number normally?
On a Thursday night, a Thursday night can be iffy. A Thursday night can be 30. A Thursday night can be 70. It's not always, consistent. A Friday night, a Saturday night, they're more consistent. And they would be, 60, 70, 80 on each night.
So, but 60 is that's a good number.
It's totally respectable number.
Compared to almost like closer to what your actual number was.
Exactly. Except it's only, we're not doing lunch and we're certainly not doing any of the catering that we normally do. We normally have 11, 12 employees in the building and we've been working with Mario and two others.
Right.
So it's drastic.
Well, I think that, and this is, the reason for my business idea. I think for a while, and I don't know how long it's going to be when this is quote unquote all over, but because especially with restaurants, like Laura, I would be thrilled if restaurants were open for, selfishly because I need work. But that's not who I want to open up because as much I have friends that are hanging on by thread with their restaurants, but you know, it's just not safe. And just like I was working in a school, as much as I want my job back, that's not where I think we should open up. So I think restaurants like yours are going to have to either do exactly what you've been doing and just try to enhance it and get more of a following. I do feel that people need to be told, like I feel like you need to scream it from the rooftops how careful you are with your PPE. Because I told you that one post in the Ladies of Hunterdon County, out of 380 responses to the post, 50% of them said we're not getting any takeout because we're afraid. And I'm thinking, okay, well, business should be down because, you know, a third of the population is unemployed, but not because people are afraid
to prepare
foods. So that got me thinking that, especially as a one woman show, because I think with proper PPE, you not only have to have these policies, okay? So a lot of these places, they have gloves on, or masks on. It's a show. It's for show, because the guys in the back have them around their necks. People don't realize that you got to look past the show to, and you also have to have a commitment to, and it's almost like you have to be sort of Nazi about it. And you also have to, I think, profoundly care about the wellness of your customers as much as you care about your own health. So it's like, you know what I mean? You have to be like as worried about them as you are about yourself. Because if you're worried about them, you're going to have that face covered. And you're going to, if you touch your head, you're going to change your glove. You know, it's like, it's not just about you and keeping you safe. It's like, and it's not just about, oh, so what, I scratch my head, you know, in this day and age, it's much more than that. Right. So as a one woman show, I was thinking, Laura, you and I have talked about this many times, and it was doing as a personal chef, you know, I charge a lot of money. So, you know, for a week's worth of meals, oh gosh, it might be $300 plus
three,
the cost. $400.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a lot. So I was trying to think about how I could do something that would sort of separate me from other people, do something unique, offer a really good price point, and to do that, you have to do some volume. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, then you say, well, what about Grubhub? Because Grubhub, now you can order anything you want for an $18 entree or whatever, and it gets delivered to your house. And last week we talked about the fact that what I got at this particular restaurant was kind of a big bummer. You know, we opened the box and it was like, what? $36? Yeah. So my idea is to have three different price point categories. So $12, $15, and $18. So the $12 price point would give you things like, one of them would be actually, it would have to be for four people because it's a whole roasted chicken.
Right. Now,
another thing that I would like to set myself apart, and you tell me what you think about this, Laura, is to offer with certain dishes, to offer them to be either in a raw state or a fully cooked state. What is your feedback? Because like a roast chicken, there's nothing better than a roast chicken right out of the oven.
I agree, but I think people are so accustomed to just getting takeout that's already prepared. I even think that it's surpassed what's going on with people buying, you know, Blue Apron and all those food kits. I think, because not only during this time are restaurants being drawn into question about their sanitary practices, but now we're talking about food supplies and where is your food coming from? And, you know, we just last week in the news was a big pork producer that, you know, had to shut down. And there's always questions about chicken farms and where's everything coming from? And in my opinion, if you were to be, you know, doing this to sort of streamline everything, I don't know that that might be a good option. I think I would offer just all
okay, but look,
prepared.
But I would definitely give people the choice. So I have.
I don't know that that's great. I think just prepared. I don't know that that's a great option because I think people are, aside from being concerned about getting food, they're also concerned about where the food's coming from and, you know, whether you're going to now say everything is going to be organic or, you know, I think it just adds a whole nother level of complication.
Well, for example, I had personal chef clients that I used to come and do a meal for them and I would leave it on the stovetop or in the oven, but then I would leave two other meals that they were going to cook at a later date. So probably the day after or the day after that. Now, for example, if they had a lemon rosemary chicken, they did not want me cooking it fully. They really wanted to, and of course they had a, you know, a house manager, housekeeper who would take care of it, but they wanted the chicken just all prepped and they wanted the house manager to, you know, put it in the oven at 5 o'clock and it would be done at 6. And they did that for a lot of things. Like if they had pork chops, they didn't want me cooking them. They would want me have it ready to go in the marinade in a bag. Salmon, you know, she didn't want me to cook.
I think that's great, but I don't know that that is going to be the norm. I don't know. I mean, I would like to
offer it as an option because myself, if I didn't have the time, I mean, let's face it, the time it takes is the shopping and the prepping, right. Taking a piece of salmon teriyaki at a raw state and throwing it in the oven for 10 minutes is like, that's nothing, you know. But anyway, I'd like to give that as an option. And also to, you know, these price points, I'm trying to be now, even at the $12 rate, we could do a roast chicken for $4, give them a choice of a lemon rosemary chicken or a chili rub, which very often I'll do like a, you know, kind of a Mexican rub with chili powder, coriander and cumin. I could actually do that for $4 with 2 sides, and that's it, 2 sides.
Right.
Lasagna, pasta with meatballs. The only reason I'm including these is because you have to include no-brainer, easy breezy stuff that everyone will eat. A 9-inch pizza, you know, pizza du jour, and chicken fingers. Now, I'm trying to, in this category, I'm trying to keep it really basic and I'm trying to make it kid friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go up a category in the $15 range. I've got a Greek moussaka. For those who don't know, it's like, Laura, tell them, ground
it's,
meat.
It's ground lamb, sometimes ground beef with a little bit of a tomato product in it, and it's layered with eggplant and it has a bechamel on top and it's delicious.
Right. So it's like I'm starting to introduce, you know, some different cuisines here. Also meatloaf. Again, that one is just giving the basic comfort food to people. But then chicken piccata, chicken marbella, Tunisian chicken. Tunisian grilled chicken, fried tofu. I'm going to steal your recipe with the fried tofu over the Asian vegetables.
So good.
And then for the $18 option, I've got Nicaraguan churrasco, roast pork loin with caramelized apples and leeks, salmon with a choice of teriyaki sauce or sautéed scallions and tomato and basil, cod oreganata, vegetable Napoleon. Now, what I'm trying to do now, if I wasn't just one person, I would have 12 options per category, but I know what it means. If I'm going to do this by myself, I got to keep it reasonable. Right. And I know that even if I had 10 families with 4 people in them, I could do this all myself in one day.
I think it sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, I'd want to make an emphasis. So, yes, I would have to work in a health inspected kitchen, which Laura has graciously offered Chambers Walk, which I was also going to ask you if I could do, if I decide to do this, can we do a video?
Absolutely.
Of me at the restaurant. I would actually promote your restaurant.
Absolutely.
During the taping, so, you know, people see it and they want to go to Chambers Walk. And then I would have add-ons like bread. I mean, I'm only saying bread because a lot of people, like, they go shopping and they have their own bread, but garlic bread, salads, you know, little add-ons that they could. So, I don't know. I think it could, because here you have, if you have a $12 option, you know, for a family of four. Now, I looked up what is a Boston chicken, Boston Market. Have you ever ordered from Boston Market?
I used to be kind of addicted to their chicken pot pies. So when they were in Flemington, if Mario was working late, I would go through the drive-thru and get a chicken pot pie.
Really?
And my mother was addicted to, she would get one of their meals that had the roasted chicken and cream spinach and something else. Yeah, I know Boston Market.
Well, I only remember, I think I only ordered it once, and it was years ago when my kids were little. Never did it again because I just got like their roast chicken and sides, you know, whatever right. that family deal was. And it was like $30, but it was the tiniest chicken I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was the tiniest chicken. It was kind of blah. The sides were blah. The portions weren't good. I mean, I think I know I can do now my chicken for a family of four with the bread and the salad and the sides is going to be $48. So it's a lot more.
But that sounds reasonable, and it's good food.
It's good food. Yeah.
Yeah. Well prepared, good food.
I didn't tell you my other thing that I want that I think would make it. Wow, that flew. I think would make it stand apart a little bit is that with all this gluten-free ridiculousness, I would only use rice flour, gluten-free breadcrumbs, and tamari instead of soy sauce in everything.
So then pretty much everything is gluten-free.
So like a gluten-free person could, wow, I could have pretty much anything on this menu. And it's, of course, the pastas and the pizzas, I'd have to offer a gluten-free product at a markup. But how great it would be for gluten-free people to, there's no soy sauce in the house. It just doesn't exist. There's no regular flour except for, you know, when they do the pizza dough. So
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Really good.
It's on the list. All right, we're running out of time. When we come back, I had some, I was looking up a cuisine, and you guys, is it okay if we take a break for like a minute and a half between? I mean, the listeners won't know that, but I looked up some Chilean recipes that I found really interesting. I'm realizing that it's not a country that I know a lot about their cuisine. So I want
to. Okay. When we come back. We'll be back.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way so you can feel empowered and then help others at home or in your office. Better yet, don't have time for tech support to come to you? Let us remote into your desktop or laptop, and one of our geeks will instantly walk you through. We offer affordable prices on our remote services and IT support. You and those in your office will never have to wait hours to have your technical questions answered. Get your free computer diagnosis today with your very own geek.
Get started now and we'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
We're going to talk a little bit about, I don't know, Laura, if you have a lot of experience with Chilean cuisine.
Not really, but it's very similar to it's South American, so it's not altogether different than Brazilian cuisine.
Right, or
lots
Argentina.
Of fish, lots yeah. of, yeah, uh-huh.
But there was a stew that caught my eye, and the sort of the national stew they call cazuela.
And in Brazil, it's called muqueca.
Right.
It's very similar.
Very similar, but one interesting component, and there's hundreds of variations, but people, you can use anything from lamb to pork to chicken to beef, but the spices are oregano. The herbs are oregano, cumin, fresh cilantro, potatoes, green beans, and corn, but corn like cut from the cob, you know, like that mm-hmm. peasant style. And also pumpkin, which I thought was interesting.
Sounds delicious. And yeah, Brazil, they use a lot of pumpkin and squash in Brazilian cooking as well. Yum. Sounds delicious.
Yeah, and I had many years ago, gosh, almost, oh, I can't believe I'm saying this is 30 years ago. 30 mm-hmm. years ago, I had an idea that I made a fish stew with, you know, shrimp and clams and some kind of, you know, like a bouillon-based type of medley of fish.
Right.
But I added sweet potatoes. I made the base first with the sweet potatoes, and they kind of disintegrated into the stew, and also a tomato product. And so the seafood with the sweet potatoes, that's why this recipe triggered that memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, I was working at the catering company outside of Princeton, and I think I had some people over for dinner, and I made this from the company. And I invited at the time, the executive sales manager. She had taken over my job as executive sales manager, and she was new. And everybody was like wowed over this seafood stew and she kind of stole, I thought it was like my idea. You know, it's so funny. Like I thought I discovered it, you know, like when I started to learn about feng shui when I was 25, and I thought like I was the only one that knew about it.
Right.
And then I realized everybody knows feng shui.
But, so did she steal the recipe?
Yeah.
And started marketing it?
Well, she had something at her house, and she had that exact dish, and she acted like it was her idea. I was like, wait a minute, you had that at my house. It was so weird.
Did you call her on it?
What's that?
Did you call her on it? Did you say
I prepared for you? I know. I just let her have it. But I was like, dude, I that was at my party. Anyway, she acted like it was her thing. But this cazuela reminded me of that experience. Also, they have something, again, incorporating pumpkin. It's called, and I don't know how to pronounce it, sopapillas.
Uh-huh.
Sopapillas, sopaipillas. And it's kind of like a street food, and it's like a pumpkin fritter flatbread. So it's like a flatbread that's got flour, but it's also got pumpkin. And very often it would be served with anything from ketchup, mustard, but also I discovered I don't know the pronunciation, but pebra is like the Chilean version of salsa. But it's made with a tomato base, whether it be chopped or finely pureed, onion, chilies, chives, cilantro, garlic, olive oil, and vinegar. So just like a salsa, but instead of lime juice, you'd have the vinegar, and, you know, instead of, so you'd have the chives and the, anyway, I just thought that was interesting. So with the sopapillas, these fritters, which I can just imagine being so great with this, and Vinny, this is a vegetarian dish, so you could have that one.
All right.
Delicious.
Also, there was something, one website mentioned wine jellies. Laura, have you ever made a wine jelly?
Yes. I've made Cabernet jellies. I've made Merlot jellies. Yeah.
Why aren't those more popular?
You can get them in gourmet shops. You can get them. I don't know that they're at ShopRite. I don't know that I've ever looked for them at ShopRite. I have a couple of drawers in the house usually, and I get them at Bon Appetit in Princeton. Yeah, they're great with just, you know, when you put out a cheese board, or they're delicious.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, and take it from the wine, I was thinking, like, why not make, like, a brandy jelly?
You
and
could.
All you have to do is, it's basically 4 cups of wine or whatever alcohol you want to use, and 2 cups of sugar and 4 tablespoons of pectin.
Yeah, and you just reduce it.
And just reduce it until it's sort of, you know, a jelly.
Yep, exactly.
I thought, I just don't know why I haven't had that as like a little condiment on one of my hors d'oeuvres, like a wine jelly, I think would
They're totally yummy. I like Merlot one. It's yummy.
And there's another thing called macas, and again, pronunciation, but macas, M-A-C-H-A-S, a la Parmesana. And what it is, it's almost like it reminds me of Coquille Saint-Jacques. It's clams, but then they're topped with, in the shell, with sort of like a Parmesan and Gouda mixture and heavy cream and wine.
That sounds delicious.
Boiled. And wouldn't that be awesome with a clam?
Yeah. Actually, I just looked it up and I'm looking at it. It looks delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, like I've never seen that recipe. That's why I love, you know, no matter how long you've cooked, I think if you just, especially with the internet, you keep searching things and keep finding things, you know.
You expose yourself, absolutely. You'll find a million things, absolutely.
So yeah, that's my Chilean.
That sounds great. That fish stew sounds yummy.
What, my fish stew with the sweet potatoes?
Yeah. I might have to put that in the repertoire. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, because so Laura, guess, like, imagine you're making a base, like similar to a bouillabaisse base. Now, right. Bouillabaisse is, I think the way it's differentiated from, like, a cioppino base is that it's a little less tomato.
Yep.
You know, cioppino is, like, a heavier tomato.
Introduces
tomato, but it's more of like a white wine stock, a fish stock with an introduction of tomatoes. The one that I did with the sweet potatoes was pretty heavily tomatoed, but you could vary that. You know, you could just do a little bit of tomato and have it be more like sweet potato. But that sweetness and that.
And did you cook it enough that the sweet potato broke down, that it was becoming a thickening agent, or did you? So what I think I would like to do is do half and half. I would put a portion of the sweet potato in so it breaks down and becomes part of a thickening agent, but then wait 20 minutes and put in the other part so you have a little bit of the chunkiness of it. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, because there's something about when it just disintegrates into the sauce, it just becomes, the flavor just becomes something that you're not even quite sure what it is. Wait a minute, is this sweet? Because there's so many other things going on. There's a tomato, there's a garlic, there's whatever spices you want to use, saffron or whatever you're using. And
that sounds absolutely delicious.
Yeah, so that was my big revelation today. Pebra, which is the Chilean salsa, which instead of lime juice, you use vinegar, and in this one, it's chives, cilantro, garlic, oil, and vinegar. Also, the Chilean traditional salad, apparently is pretty much tomatoes and onion, which
tomatoes and onion?
Tomatoes and onion, like marinated, you know, tomatoes and onion tossed in oil, vinegar.
That sounds good.
So what's your, what's on the menu for the rest of the weekend, Laura?
So last night we had a thrill. We ordered from Chambers Walk. We ordered takeout, which was lovely. Okay. Mario brought it home. And we had, I had these delicious pork tacos that are on the menu now. Mario had mussels and clams in a white sauce. Two of the kids had our Griggstown chicken, which is really good with a roasted Brussels sprouts. It's just a roasted chicken. It was yummy. And caramelized onions, I think. And I can't remember what Christopher had. So I had a nice break yesterday. Tonight we're having grilled swordfish that I'm going to marinate in soy, sesame oil, garlic, ginger.
I knew you were going to say that.
I know, because that's my go-to. That's my go-to. And then I'm going to make that Asian veggie saute that I usually do, which is onion, celery, red cabbage, white cabbage, carrots, green beans or snap peas, and spinach. And I pretty much saute by the bigger items to the smaller items. So the longer cooking items I start.
Cabbage. Laura, I can't hear you. Can't hear you. I think you're...
That you probably hit a button.
Did you hit a button, girl? Laura, we can't hear you. Anyway, Vinny,
yeah. So
what did you make last night?
What
did you have for dinner last night?
Indian food.
Indian food, takeout?
Yeah, I live in Little India right now for a while.
Where's so that?
I have to take advantage in Island, New Jersey, near.
Right.
It is a cuisine. It's in Little India here.
Right. I wish we had more. You're very lucky because.
Oh my God.
Where I live, there's not a lot of choices.
Nope. But here there are, and I went. Take out. And I've done this last week also, and I said, why not every week? You know, because I'm not going to be down here that much longer. So,
can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What happened, Laura?
So, as our listeners know, we've been Zooming the past few weeks. Not without its complications.
What happened to you?
I was just talking about the Asian vegetables with just basically, you know, typical Asian seasonings, ginger, garlic, sesame oil. I put a little hoisin in it, a splash of soy with the swordfish and a salad. That's what we're having.
That's what you're having tonight.
That's what we're having tonight. I am making onion burgers either tomorrow or Sunday. And we, too, were just talking about steak au poivre. So I'm going to make my onion burgers, which I caramelize a lot of onions and put it in with the meat. And I'm going to make them au poivre. So I'm going to press a lot of peppercorns in there.
That should be – remember the show that we did in Manioc where it was the awesome burger place?
Yes.
That sounds like a burger for their joint.
I think they had one, didn't they? I think they – I don't think we tasted it, but I think they had one with caramelized onions on it, and I think they had blue cheese on it.
Yeah, but so you're going to put the caramelized onions in with the raw meat, and you're going to cook that, and then you're going to put the cracked peppercorns on the outside of the burger?
I'm going to press it in like you do an au poivre steak, yeah.
Right, and then so no cream, but you're going to have some sort of cheese.
I might actually make a little sauce on the side because I'm going to have to deglaze that pan. So
that's right. So it's like an au poivre.
They don't need to know that I'm putting a little bit of cream in it.
Yeah, they don't need what they're vegan or what. No. They don't need to know. Don't tell them. That's like sometimes people would ask me, Laura, remember? the catering company for years, we had this dip called hot carrot cheese dip or hot artichoke cheese dip, and people
or hot spinach cheese dip or hot, yep.
And they go, "What's in it?" And I would say, "You really don't want to know."
But it was delicious. But it was like half mayonnaise and half Parmesan cheese, right?
It's a heart attack special. Do you really want to know? I mean, come on.
Too funny.
So anyway, Vinny, while you were muted or whatever was going on with you, he said that he got takeout last night because he's in Islin, New Jersey, and it's like there's tons of Indian restaurants there. So they
I bet.
And I'm jealous because there's not, even in Princeton, or where you are, Laura, there's not a lot of Indian.
Not true. There is. Yeah, there's two or three. There's definitely two, at least two in Princeton. And then out by the Mercer Mall, there's a couple. They're kind of around. The best one, in my opinion, is the one that's in Princeton, which is called Cross Culture.
I've been there.
The Princeton Shopping Center. Very good.
Yeah.
What is that Indian dish where it's like spinach and a lot of cream?
Palak paneer.
Yeah. So good, but you don't want to know what's in that one either. So
just smear it on your naan and eat it. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Well, this has been awesome, guys. We're running out of time.
No time. Ugobi potatoes and cauliflower.
Oh yeah. Okay, I've had that. Yeah.
Delicious.
All right, so I'm
running out of time.
Yeah.
Next week we'll have some more interesting conversation and hopefully no more technical difficulties.
And we have a Facebook page coming soon, right? Or at least the revamped one.
The revamped Food for Thought, yep. We will be sending out notifications and we will confirm it all next week when we're back.
Okay.
All right, guys.